and you're listening to the Talkline Network over WVIP 93.5 FM HD2, New Rochelle, New York. We are America's only Jewish radio program on regular broadcast radio on the internet and digital platforms. Enjoy. And now, best-selling author, celebrity chef, television producer, and businesswoman, Jamie Gehler, on behalf of Yad Ezra V'Shulamit.
Rav Aryeh Lurie, the founder of Yad Ezra V'Shulamit, says he cannot sleep at night knowing that there is a hungry child in Israel. We need to feel that as well. These children are our children. This is Israel. It's 2022. It's unimaginable that there's this level of poverty. Almost a million children, one out of three. And we need to feel it like Rav Aryeh feels it. He's dedicated his entire life so that these children can be fed. We just need to help him. We just need to give. We need to care like he cares. That's incumbent upon us, incumbent upon every Jewish person. This is Israel, and these are our children. If you have been moved to give, if your heart has been touched like my heart has, you can go ahead and donate. Anything is appreciated. Go to yadezra.net/Brenner. That's two N's and one R. yadezra.net/Brenner. B-R-E-N-N-E-R.
Hi, I'm Ashwin Vasan, the city's doctor.
And I'm New York City Schools Chancellor David Banks. And your friends at school want to tell you something.
I need you at reading time.
We need you at basketball.
We need you at lunch.
We need you in science.
We need you in school with us.
We all want to see you in school.
And so do your friends.
Have your parents talk to your doctor about routine school vaccines.
For more information, go to nyc.gov/health and search student vaccines.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers, align saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles. If you know someone that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, please share our number. Our confidential number is 718-758-0400. Yes, all calls are strictly confidential. You can call, you don't have to identify yourself. We will try and help guide you to the right professionals, the right clinics, inpatient, outpatient programs that best suit your needs with your insurance as well. So again, I'll repeat the number. Maybe it's for yourself, a neighbor, a loved one, someone usually would sit next to and show. And our number is 718-758-0400. Tonight, I'm really happy to have on with us somebody that I work with on many different projects and who's a therapist, a trauma therapist in private practice in Brooklyn, and that is Hoodie Kowalski. Hoodie not only is a therapist, and he specializes in DBT, somatic interventions, and spirituality and treatment, but he also teaches guitar and is a registered yoga teacher. I'd like to welcome you on. How are you, Hoodie?
Thank you so much, Nechama. Good evening. Thank you, Damask. Thank you, Zev, for hosting. Things are going well. Thank God we are in the full swing of the holiday spirit here, getting ready for a new year.
Absolutely. And that is what we will be speaking about tonight. I wanted to have you on so that we can just talk about holiday season. The kids are coming home. You're going to family. And there are a lot of people that have struggled, whether it's before COVID, during COVID, after COVID, but it is one of the first big holidays that families are getting together. And many people struggle with their own mental health struggles. So I wanted to talk about how to make the holiday season, the holiday family visits, you know, all of this is relevant, and how to make it the best experience for you.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot here, and as you kind of were insinuating already, that you know every holiday season comes with its perks and also with its challenges for all populations. And you know, what may work for one person may not work for someone else, and what may work for a parent may not always work for a child. So we're gonna try to address different concerns that come up. But as always, as I've said in the previous recording as well, speak to your therapist if you have, or you know, mentor or rabbi for any specifics, as always. But you know, this is just some general things that have come up in sessions recently and in previous years. So you know, as we were getting ready for this recording, I was thinking first about one subgroup that maybe some of the listeners will fall into, which is actually people sandwiched who have needs to take care of parents on one hand, but also have to take care of children on the other hand, you know, especially over holidays, and the stress that could bring for everybody, for both parents and children, also AKA grandchildren in this case. And I just want to highlight that, you know, some of these struggles are, you know, shared by many and obviously unique to each and individual situation. So, you know, there are, when, especially, you know, for religious holidays, when certain people are struggling, they don't always appreciate certain things about going home to their parents or about things they grew up with in the parents' house that the parents maybe think are fine or regular or what, quote unquote, everyone else does. But for whatever reason, may, whether it's because of a trauma or anxiety or for some other reason, may be potentially challenging or triggering for someone returning home. And what's important is first and foremost always to be validating and to validate that something that you think maybe is normal or regular might be a challenge for someone else. And at the same time, and this is where having a dialectical perspective is so important, that doesn't always mean that you have to change a value or a system or overthrow something that you've been doing for many, many years to accommodate someone. But again, this is a very difficult and precarious situation that certain people are struggling with, whereby, again, they're coming home for a child will be coming back to parents, especially if they don't live in the house, and not necessarily agree with whether it's a religious practice or just something that the family does in celebration of a season that they may not like. And that's okay. Again, the important thing here is to be validating and understanding and to try to work out some system where with the child or adult child could feel heard and validated while still maintaining some aspect of that practice. And whether it's going through service, whether it's eating a meal in someone's house or someone else's house or having certain guests over. And there's many, many different scenarios where this could come up. And, you know, again, to repeat myself again, this is each person in each case is unique and will need its own guidance. But that very important piece of validating first and disagreeing later. Often when we feel challenged or that someone's up against us, we want to just respond, even if we have a good response or a valid response, but we forget that, you know, the other person wants to feel heard as well. So the first step of just being able to validate where another person is coming from, and that might help the child also recognize where you're coming from and you know, help work to some sort of middle ground where everyone can feel heard and understood, even if it's not the most ideal situation.
So I want to bring up those that are in recovery. Mm-hmm. It may be very challenging for them because here they're with family. They're not in their regular home or area. They need to find new meetings wherever they may be. Not all family may understand the recovery process, so that may be difficult as well. And lots of people need their recovery, their 12-step meetings, even over the Shabbos and the holiday. So if you could address the importance of the recovery and how one should look out before they go to wherever they're going for the holidays, so they're prepared.
And one other aspect that you had to add to the question a little bit is that sometimes family members, even close family members, don't know that another family member is in recovery or anything about that, even if they know that they're in some sort of process of recovery. Then they make it even more challenging. And very often, you know, a family member who's not fully understanding will say, "Oh, what's the big deal? It's only a few days. You know, it's fine." Not realizing that first of all, every day is important, every minute is important, but especially at a season of change and a disruption of routine can lead to serious setbacks. So the first thing is, you know, for those individuals who are going through these situations, is to plan ahead. Obviously if it's a last minute thing, and you probably won't be listening to this anyway, but if it's a last minute change and you're not expecting it all, it's be a little more challenging. But even if you have 24 hours or especially a few weeks to you know your schedule is going to be off, to start planning ahead and not to be surprised. Most of us know, you know, once we reach a certain age, usually by our early teens, what goes on at home, whether or not it's a, you know, it's a supportive environment or not, who comes, what kind of people they are, and how they deal with certain issues. So be an educated consumer. Know kind of as much as possible what situation you're going through. If you're going to a shul, to a synagogue, to know, you know, what kind of community that is, and about the rabbi or about the congregants there, if it's the type of environment you want, and if you have some control to then, you know, maybe find an alternative service or alternative plans for the morning, or especially when it's a long service, to be in an environment of support. Some of us don't have that option. They were, for whatever reason, compelled to go with someone else, either because they're caretaking or because of some familial obligation. And then I learned this idea a long time ago from one of my teachers of like micro breaks and micro movements we could do that kind of help us. So sometimes it's bringing along a book that you could read in any language. It doesn't have to have anything to do with the holiday. It could just be something you could distract yourself with. Taking a break, having someone, either inviting a friend or having someone that you know already is going to be in the area who you could just, even just something catching their eyes is helpful when it's a particularly difficult moment or being able to take five. If you have a private space in the house you're staying at or wherever you're staying, to be prepared to bring things that you know, remind you of what you're doing and what you're up to and, you know, who your supports are. And, you know, obviously, you know, with rabbinic guidance, if you have to have access to some meeting or a sponsor or something like that, to make sure that's set up as well. And like I said, just be prepared. That's what I said. We're not going to be able to control everything in a situation ever, anywhere. And even if we're in recovery for a long time, the goal of any recovery program is to eventually be in the world and be in an environment that may be challenging. But you're seeing what we can utilize on the outside. Obviously, if the situation is potentially abusive or could be high level triggering, then maybe finding an alternative plan from the get-go would be obviously ideal. But again, being prepared and knowing what you're going into, even if you don't want to, in DBT it's called very simply cope ahead. This is what's going on. This is what's likely to happen, and this is what I can do best to be prepared, even though it's not the situation I want to go through. But I'm smart enough to know, you know, what to expect, and I could be as best prepared as possible.
Thank you. So, honey, there are kids that may have different values than parents. So let's talk about that struggle from the parents' end and from the kids' end, please.
Sure. Yeah, that this is also fairly common. And to go whether or not someone's struggling with religious practice or with mental health or just, you know, on a different path than kind of, you know, the environment that they're going back to. You know, I heard something powerful from one of my teachers, and he says that it's I hope I'm allowed to say it's like a quarter of a Dvar Torah. But it's that there's an expression, tefilos avos tignum, that the forefathers established prayers, that the prayers and the supplications that we say when we talk to God are established from the forefathers, which on a simple level means that the forefathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob prayed at certain times of the day, and we do the same. But something I've heard that's helpful is that really the way the parents approach prayer is the way the children will approach prayer. And prayer is not only between us and God. Prayer is the way we talk to everybody and the way we interact with every human being. So learning to speak with everyone in a way you would kind of, again, so to speak to God, sets a tone for us, a tone of encouragement, a tone of support and well-being, whether or not someone agrees with you. And this is, again, very challenging because there are sometimes specific practices that you may want to see or not want to see that could be challenging. And it goes back to what we're saying about setting a tone of acceptance as much as possible, especially when challenging, because that kind of brings out our true nature, what happens to us when we get challenged. And again, even though it's difficult, so as much as possible, being able to understand or support or encourage, you know, anything that's in the spirit of a day.
Right, and I want to add that once anybody that is struggling out there, any parent, MASC offers parent support groups, Sunday night, Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld, Monday night, Dr. Debbie Ackman, Tuesday night, Dr. Trish Atia, and Wednesday night, Rabbi Dr. Ben-Zion Twersky. So anyone that wants to join a parent group to learn tools, how to handle situations, feel free to reach out to the MASC office at 718-758-0400. And we are still by Zoom, so it's easy. We'll send you a Zoom link and everything is confidential. So let's go back to prayer. Everybody, you know, religion, everyone has their commitments in whatever way they're committed, but maybe there was a trauma associated with the holidays, and maybe one is triggered by the prayer and the rituals. So what do you say to those family members?
Well, this is unfortunately fairly common, you know, especially those of us who grew up in environments where certain aspects of religion were maybe forced, or, you know, we were compelled to do certain things. And it's first of all, it's super valid, because a lot of times things are misrepresented or not explained as they should be. But what's also sometimes helpful is that, you know, for some of this is, you know, again, more specifically for people who grew up with the prayers and were attending synagogue at a young age. And it's what's helpful, what I found helpful, and many of others have found helpful, is to take a new approach to what's going on. The same way, you know, if you're introduced to lollipops or candy at 6 years old, by the time you're 26 or 46, or hopefully your diet has changed a little bit and you're not having that many lollipops any day. The way we pray when we're 6 years old should be very different than when we're 26 and 46. And it could be very different. It could be very empowering to spend some time exploring what it is we're doing and what we're saying and how it could relate to us on a personal level. Because the prayers in the Machzor and the Rosh Hashanah Seder, and then in the for all the holidays, were never meant just to be, you know, muttered or just to be even said to get from one end of the book to the other. I thought it's helpful to take one piece of it and really understand that and internalize it. And I think there are many messages found within the liturgy that are actually very empowering and recognize the struggle that we all go through. And especially on the high holidays. So to take a step back, and again, it's a little work. It takes some time, and we don't always want to do these things. But I found many, many people found this very helpful and encouraging actually when they take a fresh perspective on what's going on, because when it comes to the holidays, especially the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's not about connecting to God as a person in the sky. There's no man in the sky. There's an energy within us that we're trying to connect to and come back to. And sometimes that, you know, rebuilding that is messy and takes time, but ultimately it's very rewarding. And I think that's a big part of what's going on over the holidays.
Buddy, what about those that are afraid of God? Meaning it's hard for them to understand the language of the prayers when it comes to prayers that read about punishment.
Yes, it is. Some of the way things are translated could be very challenging. And there's a lot of imagery that could kind of connote a judgment or punishment. And some of the translations, not no offense to all those translating the work, some of the translations are very poor. So everyone's welcome. I'll give my information at the end. Anyone is welcome to email me, and I could help retranslate some of the prayers. But what's important is that the way I heard this from David Aaron, Rabbi David Aaron, is that this is like a business, and so to speak, again, in an analogy, and this is a meeting with the CEO and the founder of the company, who no matter what is never going to fire you. No matter what, you're on the team, and not only that, he's again, we believe he's, as much as he's the master of the company, he's also the father, and those two things go together. Which sometimes, again, could be difficult to relate to, especially those of us who have difficult relationships with our parents. But the idea here is that it's a benevolent relationship, even though sometimes, again, there's many, many, many challenges that get in the way of that. And it's very easy to blame God when things go wrong and forget about him when things go right. And remembering that it's about balance. So you're replugging and having that meeting again, because the conversation is internal. It's like, what do I want for myself? What do I want, despite everything, despite and because of everything that's happened to me and everything that I've gone through? What do I want to see in the world, and how could I take the steps necessary to get there? Wherever I am, wherever I'm up to now.
So let's go back to those that are struggling with mental health struggles, and they come to family. They're back home, and they're visiting, or they're joining their family, or they live in the home and others are visiting their home, their families, and they feel that the family makes them feel like less than, in whatever way, whether they're jealous of a sibling that is doing well and they're stuck, whether it's that they're, you know, not doing financially as well as other siblings, or whether sibling rivalry from a very young age and still just, you know, blossoming into, you know, younger kids, younger problems, older kids, older problems. So what do you say to those family members?
So there's two sides of the coin. One is, for anyone struggling with how what others say to them is challenging for them, or they feel less than, made to be made less than by others, or humiliated, that's very much on the person saying that. And that's very much a reflection of the person who's saying that information and some challenge they're dealing with. That could be very challenging, but the more, again, this is something that therapy could be very helpful with, and the more we could process that with the therapist and recognize that very often people are not talking to us, they're talking at us. And they're kind of letting us have whatever garbage or whatever they're working through, whatever issues they're working through, are coming out directed at us. So even though we're there, we're on the receiving end, we're not really on the receiving end. We're in the way of something falling out of them. And the more we could recognize that, and again, the process is very challenging and very difficult, but recognizing that is very helpful. And to those who are, you know, engaging that sort of behavior, in whether it's belittling or humiliating or even unintentionally, you know, to really take a step back and a reckoning of how what we do, what we say, and, you know, even if we're not saying it, what we imply and how we act can potentially be affecting others. And again, it's very challenging, especially, you know, with the child is coming home and they're not doing some of the things the rest of the family is doing. And again, we're talking to adults here. So parents as adults or grandparents sometimes, they may not be able to change. If they can change, then us as children are learning to kind of either not go and not visit or recognize that they can change and we're going to have to accept certain things if we're in that space, as difficult or challenging as it is. And hopefully the parents will change through, you know, through programs offered at MASC and other organizations that are trying to raise awareness and trying to see those changes and have more things accepted in the community.
Thank you. So again, anyone that's interested in a support group, please call us 718-758-0400. Again, we have with us tonight Hoodie Kowalski, who's a trauma and relationship therapist in private practice in Brooklyn. And anyone that wants to reach Hoodie, feel free to call MASC and we will make sure that he gets back to you. Hoodie, so what's your message to my listeners tonight?
Thank you. For
the holiday season.
The holiday season. First of all, just a blessing always. Everyone should have a good, happy, healthy year, and spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, healthy in mind, body, and spirit, with surrounded by good people. It should be a year of blessings for everybody, and only revealed good.
Amen. Thank you, and I want to wish you and your family the same. Thank you for coming on tonight. I'd like to wish everyone a happy, a healthy, and a sweet new year. Please call MASC for any referrals. We are available from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We will be open through the holiday season. I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually for now, hug tight. Please consider to go online to maskparents.org and donate so that we can continue with all of the MASC programs. Thank you. Tonight's show is in memory of Rivka Bas Yisrael. Thank you and good night.
Hi, I'm Ashwin Vasan, the city's doctor.
And I'm New York City Schools Chancellor David Banks. And your friends at school want to tell you something.
I need you at reading time.
We need you at basketball.
We need you at lunch.
We need you in science.
We need you in school with us.
We all want to see you in school.
And so do your friends.
Have your parents talk to your doctor about routine school vaccines.
For more information, go to nyc.gov/health and search student vaccines.
Hey, this is Alan Dershowitz, inviting you to tune into the Dersh Show, the Dersh Show, where we discuss the most important issues of the day. You know, the Dersh Show, all that's missing is the wits, and that's what I need you for, to provide the wits. We broadcast Monday through Thursday evenings at 11 p.m., courtesy of Rumble on WVIP 93.5 FM HD2, TalkLineNetwork.com and our 24-hour listening line at 641-793-0382. Please join us on the Dersh Show to really get a grasp of what's going on in our world today, and you'll hear it directly from me through my lens, which you know is always going to be your lens. So thank you.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS or state, don't worry. I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. In today's economy, the IRS has released a variety of new rules and is offering more flexible terms to help Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. If you apply today, we may be able to lift your wage garnishments and release a freeze on your bank assets or business. Our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, they can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your IRS debt for far less than what you owe. Pick up your phone right now and call us for a free $500 IRS tax review. Don't wait. Here's the number.
Call right now. 800-294-7179. 800-294-7179. 800-294-7179. For the last time, 800-294-7179.